reflect on this passage under the theme, really, of life options. And we all face all sorts of options in our lives, decisions about how we live. And some of these really are quite trivial. They face us, decisions that we face every day, simple decisions. But there is also a more fundamental decision that we make about our life. Fundamentally, how are we going to live our lives? Who are we going to live our lives for? And to help us to think about this, I'm going to put up some road signs, and I'm hoping your highway code is up to scratch. Okay, so on the left, what have we got? What does this sign mean? Or what do you understand the sign to mean? Don't drive off cliffs. That's probably a very good one. I don't know if that's technically what the highway code says. Unfenced key. Well, thank you. I prefer the don't drive off cliffs. Better. Okay, how about this one? No through road? Yeah, okay, and this one? One way, straight ahead. Okay, so that's what we've got. I've just put that down as danger. You know, that's how I read it when I see that. And there we've got no through road, and there, one way, straight ahead. Okay, so in terms of life options, we could take these three road signs as examples of life options, not just the trivial everyday decisions we make, but the more fundamental decisions we take about how we're going to live our lives and who are we going to live our lives for. And the first one, for example, is about danger. It's about acknowledging that in our lives, sometimes we get into the situation where it is better to stop and to turn back because we are in danger. The Bible talks about that kind of life as a life that is lived fundamentally in sin, when we are entrenched in habits that are not doing us any good at all. And it's at that point that we need to see the danger signs and just say, do you know what? This really is no good for me. Now, that could be something that we do on a regular basis, but it may be just an approach we have to life that is so negative and pessimistic that means hang-ups that we have just overtake us, and such approaches are not good for us. And God might speak into our lives even today and think, do you know what? I shouldn't live like that. I am wasting my life and possibly wasting other people's lives if I carry on living like that. So that's one life option. The other one is a no through road. And I've just put this down as limited. It'll do. Now, I don't know if any of you live on a no through road. Yeah, you live on a no through road. It's great if you live on a no. I live on a no through road. Thank you, Clive, for that. Do you know what? I've not thought of that. It's great living on a no-through road. It'll do. It's brilliant. Now, but in terms of life, the problem with a no-through road is it doesn't get you anywhere. You can live on it, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And we're going to reflect on that this morning and think, okay, what does that mean for us living, as it were, on a no-through road? Where we can say, do you know what? It'll do. It's good. I have a great life, but it's not getting me anywhere. And then the third option is the one way straight ahead, a life that is full of promise, fullness, love, and life, looking right ahead. Now, the passage that we read talks a bit about the old and the new. And we're going to try and make some sense of what we read about Abraham and Hagar and Sarah and understand, okay, what did it mean when Paul wrote these words? What did it mean? And then we're going to try and say, okay, if it meant that then, what might it mean for us today? And I've just kept up these two road signs, the no through road and the one way straight ahead. I put the other one, the danger one, away. But I thought I'd include that just because that it may be that for some of us there's negativity and sin or whatever in our lives that we just need to deal with and deal with that quite radically. Okay, so the old and the new. I'm going to put up four words that appear in this passage and going to reflect on each one. This passage talks about covenant. This passage also talks about son or sons. It also talks about birth, and it talks about freedom. One of the fascinating things I always find about reading passages such as we've got in front of us today is that these words are written almost 2,000 years ago. And we can dig deep into them and say, okay, what do they mean? What did they mean at the time? And then it fascinates me how they can speak to us today and they can bring life to us today if we have an open heart and we're ready to hear what God will say to us through them. So we're going to reflect on these four words, covenant, son, birth, and freedom, beginning with covenant. And if you have your Bible open at the passage we read, verse 24, these things may be taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. Now, a covenant is a sacred promise where God makes a promise with a person or a people, and he commits himself to keep that promise, to keep that covenant. And the Apostle Paul here is painting the picture of two covenants. One, I would suggest, is like a no-through road. One is, it'll do. It's good, but it won't actually get you very far. You can live there, but it won't achieve much. And the other is a one-way, straight-ahead option with God. The first covenant was God's covenant with Moses and Israel. God made a number of covenants in the Bible, but the one Paul refers to here is that sacred promise he made to Moses and to Israel. And he said to them, here's the deal. You will be my people, and I'll be your God. But what you must do is you must keep the law. Here's the law. Primarily, there are 10 commands that I give to you. But there are many other laws aside from that. But that's the deal. I will be your God, you'll be my people, but if you are to be my people, you must keep my laws. And we might say, well, that's pretty good. It's full of wisdom. Don't murder. Don't steal. Honor the Sabbath. Worship the Lord your God only. Lots of wisdom there. And yet the Apostle Paul is saying here in verse 21, tell me, you who want to be under the law, there are clearly those who are going, do you know what? We were given the law. We were given this covenant. And we think it is everything we need for life. And Paul is going, no, no, it is good. It is full of wisdom, but it's like living on a no-through road. It won't get you anywhere if you base your life fundamentally upon it. Now, that must have come as a great shock to a whole load of people who were reading this and saying, well, hang on, we live by this law. Our parents live by this law. Our grandparents live by this law. Do you know, as far back as we can remember, this is how we've lived. And we've believed that it's all we need for life and for death. And Paul says, no. It won't do. It's okay, but it won't do. Now, what about the covenant for this one way straight ahead? It is God's covenant to the world. The Apostle Paul here paints the picture of Abraham having two sons, as we'll see, Ishmael and Isaac. Two covenants. The first covenant, Ishmael, we'll see. It's fine. Beautiful son. I'm sure Abraham adored his son, thought he was the best. But then God delivers on his promise and gives to Abraham and Sarah Isaac. And this new covenant, God says, is not just for Moses, it's not just for Israel. This covenant is for the whole world. So the first covenant was just for a small group of people. Live by this. But the second covenant is for all the world. And John could write in his gospel, God so loved the world that he gave his son. Not just God so loved a small group of people, an elite group, but God so loved the world that he gave his son. And the second covenant, the covenant Paul wants people to understand and grasp hold of and live in, is this covenant for all the world. Well, how about the son that is born? There are two sons that are born that I just mentioned. One is Ishmael and the other is Isaac. Ishmael was Abraham's choice. God had promised to Abraham, you are going to have children. You're going to have enough children. Well, he said, well, look at the skies. Look at the stars in the sky. Can you possibly count the number of stars in the sky? I'm going to deliver to you on this promise as many children as there are stars in the sky, as many children as there are grains of sand on the seashore. That's what I'm going to do for you. Now, we're told that Abraham believed what God had said. But Abraham was old. He was an old man, and Sarah also was pushing it. You know, there wasn't much life left in them. And time passed, and Abraham and Sarah thought, well, maybe God wants us to deliver on his promise. Maybe God wants us to do what God has promised he will do. So Sarah says, look, got a young woman here, my servant girl, Hagar. You go with her and hopefully she'll get pregnant and she'll have a son. And then we'll have kind of collaborated together with God and we'll have delivered on God's promise. And so Ishmael is born, and he is Abraham's treasured son for years. God apparently had answered his promise. But in fact, it was Abraham's choice. It was what Abraham decided. Do you know what? I'm going to figure this out myself. I'm going to provide the answer. And for Paul, it's the no-through road. That was great. And Ishmael was blessed and good. But it's a no-through road. It won't actually get you anywhere. Well, what about Isaac? Isaac was finally born years later. When Ishmael was turning 12 or 13, Isaac was born, much to Abraham and Sarah's astonishment. Sarah laughed when she heard the news that within a year you'll be pregnant and you will give birth to the son. And Isaac means laughter. And what joy must have filled their hearts, and yet what amazement. God made a covenant for all the world, and it's a covenant based on his promise, where God says, what I promise, I will deliver on. What I promise, I will keep. And this way of living, of trusting God, is sometimes a risky way to live. But Paul says, do you know what? This is the way we should live. This is the one way, straight ahead way to live. So that's the covenant, that's the son. And about the birth, well, this passage said it was the power of the flesh, or born in the ordinary way. In verse 23, his son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way. Do you remember giving birth, ladies? I am talking to ladies here. Maybe fathers, you remember birth. You remember how that all happened? You were all part of that. And Paul says, you know, Hagar and Ishmael, you know, Abraham and Sarah, they plotted together and they thought, we can't see God doing anything here, because he's really going to have to step up and do something amazing. And Paul says that just happened in the ordinary way. And if we want to live within God's covenant of promise, if we want to live in what God has for us, then sometimes we have to wait and hang on and say, I know this looks daft, but God has promised. And I want to live within God's covenant of promise for the whole world. And so we are told it was by the power of the Holy Spirit His son by the free woman was born as a result of the promise. And later on in verse 29, the son born by the power of the Spirit. And Paul is saying, look, there are at least two ways to live. There are all of you here who think, you know, God has made his covenant with us. As long as we keep the law, as long as we keep all the commands, we're sorted. And Paul's saying, okay, that might have been fine, but it's a no-through road. It's not going to get us to where God wants us to be. But there's another covenant made through Jesus Christ that is free for us and for all the world, not just a group, a small group, but it is for everyone. And it's about promise, and it's about the power of the Holy Spirit. So we've had covenant, son, birth, and this question of freedom, because at the heart of the passage is this question of freedom. Do people have to be plugged into a closed system? Do they have to obey just as the Jews, just as Israel obeyed, and do everything the same way as this small nation did? Or is God giving freedom to people to live in a way that is full of life? Well, Paul says, those of you who live under the law, you're no better than slaves. You're living in slavery right now. And here Paul talks about Jerusalem. Verse 25, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. And of course, Paul is saying, you know, even Jerusalem now, our wonderful capital city, the center where we believe God dwells, even now, Jerusalem is in slavery. The Roman Empire had conquered it and was doing with it as they wished. And Paul says, for all your talk, you know, we are in slavery. And he's saying, this no-through roadway, it's good as far as it goes, but it won't get us to where God wants us to be. We are still stuck in slavery. Whereas the covenant God has made to all the world that is full of God's promise and the power of the Holy Spirit is about freedom. It's about love. It's about life. And it has its risks, because faith is about risk. It's about trusting in somebody, trusting that somebody else is dependable. I know I'm dependable. I know if something needs to be done, what do you say? I might as well do it myself. You know, I can depend on myself to do that. But to have faith in somebody is to say, do you know what? I trust them to deliver. I trust them to stand by their promise. And that's where faith comes in, and this one-way, straight-ahead life. So that is something of what the Apostle Paul is saying in this somehow complex passage about Abraham, Hagar, Sarah. He's talking about two covenants, two ways of living. One, he says, ultimately, it's great, but it won't get you anywhere. The other is straight-ahead. It's about relying on God, trusting in God's promise, trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit, and it is a life of freedom, of love, and of life. Well, if we turn all this to ourselves and say, okay, all that's very good, but what does it mean for us? What does it mean for us? Well, the no-through road life, I think that's very much about a me mentality. Who's the center of the universe? Who is the center of the universe? Well, it's me, of course, isn't it? It's about me. And that's fine, because we are taught to look after ourselves. I was hearing the other day that I call it the pop psychology industry. Do you know what I mean by that? You know, the self-help industry is worth billions and billions of pounds every year. If you go into Waterstones and you have a look on their bookshelves, I guarantee there will be something like popular psychology or self-help or something like that. I don't know if you've been in recently. And there will be religion. But how many bookshelves will religion take up? One? Possibly. Whereas popular psychology, how many? Have you been in? Two, three, four, a whole wall of help yourself. And that's where we've ended up, which is, do you know what? Nobody else is going to help you, either in this world or in the next, you might as well help yourself. And it comes down to a me mentality. And the Apostle Paul, I guess, would say to us, that's all very good, but it won't get you to where God wants you to be. It's about the me mentality. It's about my decisions. It's about the I can do it. And maybe even it is the it will do. It's okay. And there's a sense in which all of this is true. It's great to live on the no-through roads, but it won't get you anywhere. And Paul says, there is a choice. You don't have to live there in your lives. What is this one way ahead, straight ahead life option? Well, first of all, it's about accepting God's covenant, accepting that when God revealed his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God was revealing to us and making a promise to us, to all the world, that would bring fulfillment both to us as individuals, fulfillment to us as a community, but fulfillment to all of creation. And we can opt in and we can say, do you know what? I want to live according to God's way. And therefore we must accept God's covenant and say, okay, whatever is asked for by God's covenant, I'll live in it. And it's accepting God's covenant, but it's also about trusting God's promise. As I was saying just a moment ago, having faith in somebody, it's about trusting. Will they deliver on what they've promised? And I think we should always be careful about what we promise, because a promise is a sacred thing. It's about trusting in God's promise. Now you might say, well, what has God promised? What has God promised? And this is where you have to pick up your Bible and you have to start reading it. You have to start mining into God's word and saying, okay, where are the promises of God? Where are the promises of God? And saying to God, I've just read this. Is this for me? Is this your promise from your word to me? And you can't rely just on me telling you what God's promises are. You can't rely on other people. We do have to delve for God's promises ourselves. It's about accepting God's covenant, but it's also about trusting God's promises and saying, do you know what? I want to live according to the values of God. Thirdly, here, very simply, welcoming the Holy Spirit. Welcoming the power of God. Welcoming the life of God for us each day. Perhaps beginning our day by just welcoming God, welcoming the life of God to direct our paths each day. And fourthly, living in freedom and love. And very clearly saying, this is what I choose to do. I choose to accept God's way for me. And I want to live in it. I want to put down everything that hinders me. I want to throw off all the sin that so easily entangles me and encircles me and holds me back. And I want to live God's way. And my encouragement for all of us today is to say, okay, it's a difficult passage. But Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, Isaac, Ishmael, what does all that mean? It's about two covenants. It's about two ways of living. Both are fine. But one will get us to where God wants us to be. The other one, well, it won't. And the encouragement today is to size up our own lives and say, who are we living for? Are we living, in a sense, in the old? Or are we going to start living in God's new? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, for your faithfulness to us. Father, thank you that there is a decision that confronts each one of us every day. Father, we acknowledge that the decisions we made 10 years ago, perhaps, to follow you, or 20 or 30 or 60 years ago to follow you, We need to renew that decision and that focus every single day. And Father, you know that some days we find it easier than others. But Father, right now we would decide for you. We would accept your covenant with us and with the whole world. We would seek at every step to trust your promise to us, trusting that you are with us, that you would direct our paths, that you would give us all that we need in every circumstance. Father, we decide today to be open and to welcome the work of your life, the work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. And we choose to live free. We choose to put aside negativity and pessimism. We choose to pick up hope and love and faith. And Father, we ask for your blessing in this, for we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.